I just this second got off the phone with Teresa, who was very, very excited. She was just on her way back from Castle Lodge. She'd met with Eunice, who's helping us get her U.S. cash, and she so that she has, you know, currency that's relevant to travel with, since, you know, they don't take kwacha in a whole lot of countries around the world. And she was also just telling me, she said, Eunice was very generous, Jen, and she gave me 500 rand also. So she's all, I said, well, she must love you better than me. I've never had rand. So she's all set to go. She flies. We'll talk to her again tonight. We'll call her right before we go to bed, our time, which will be first thing in the morning, Sunday morning. She flies 1 o'clock her time, Sunday, and she'll land in San Francisco at 5:40 on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yay.
Great.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. Woohoo.
Yeah, it's just been, as you can imagine. Our...
Nothing to it.
I wish we could tell the whole story, you know, like the whole, rather tense negotiations with South African Airlines and for hours. And then down to the last minute yesterday, and Jen and Melinda rushing up the hill to try to find a fax machine because we didn't know a fax machine, and the one they found, they couldn't figure out how to work, and the office is closing, and they're closing for the whole weekend, or about to, you know, and then just the very last second it works. So really fun.
Yeah. You know, one of the fun things about it is how everyone in kind of every office now completely knows the story. I think I told the story about how when I called the embassy in Lusaka, and I said, I'm calling about Teresa Campenda's visa, and she knew the woman who lost her passport. Same thing, by the time we got the tickets done yesterday, the woman who's kind of the supervisor of the whole office in Florida, the South African Air office, just sat there on the phone with me until the tickets were reissued. And she was actually quite sweet by the end of it. She said, I know this is going to be a great trip. If you need to do anything like extended on the other end, please call me. I can probably do something to work at it. So just kind of every way now. There are people who know. I picture her kind of getting on the plane and people going, oh, you must be Teresa Campenda.
That's great.
Good job.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Well, I hope we'll see some of you at the Bridge Walk anyway.
Yes.
Right, so I'll tell you what's on my little agenda for today. I feel like we've pretty much finished with the donation project. There's going to be a final version that's going to go out for everybody just to make sure we don't, there's nothing else we need to catch about that. So I'm going to figure we don't need to talk about that today. Our next project along those lines is the one about the facilitated discussion that we have. So we haven't looked at that at all, so we just need to start on that. And I was thinking we'd just start on it, kind of like we've done, and over the next couple, three calls, we would work that out. Let's see. I wanted to do a check-in about fundraising and the fundraising projects people are doing, and I know at least one person has some questions about that. And then we had some things that people had emailed in, so I'll hit those first, and then if we have any time at the end, then we can see if there's other things people want to talk about. Does that seem all right, or is anybody aware of anything I'm missing? Okay. So how about we just read through this facilitation discussion blurb, as we have before. Is anybody willing to read it for us? I have a copy here in case anybody on the property wants to read it for us.
Dave, this is Mickey. I'm willing.
This is Sequoia, and I'll read it here. Okay.
You know what?
What?
You're me.
What's that, Mickey? Hello?
Dave, I don't think I'm willing to do it, Dave, but my computer's in a place where the cell phone coverage isn't covering, so I can't do it.
Hey, thanks, Mickey. We actually got it covered. Sequoia's going to read it from here.
In this group, you are participating in a facilitated discussion. In a facilitated discussion, every interaction is between a single group participant and the facilitator. The facilitator is there to assist each participant to see his or her own particular life and processes more clearly. The facilitator respects what the participant is saying and may also pose questions for clarification or to invite deeper looking. The participant speaks only to the facilitator, not to any other group member. Participants are asked to use I statements. We are each speaking from our own personal experience. There are no side conversations between members of the group. We do not comment on what others have said. We may, however, acknowledge that something that was said has assisted us to see something for ourselves. In parentheses, what I saw in that is, end of parentheses. We participate in this discussion to facilitate our process of seeing how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. In being facilitated and in hearing others being facilitated, we see egocentric karmic conditioning at work in our lives, and we grow in consciousness, and we grow in conscious, compassionate awareness. Every facilitator, whether experienced or in training, is there to support that process for each participant.
Great. Thanks, Sequoia. And just to make sure we're clear on the purpose of this thing, this came up because we realized that people really don't know, especially if they're new, kind of how to participate in these groups. And so this would actually go to the participants as they get oriented, kind of along with the guideline and stuff. So a way to attempt to fill them in so they can know what's expected. So who has comments about this?
This is Michael.
Okay, Michael.
I was noticing at the end there, it talks about a facilitator, whether experienced or in training. And I kind of consider myself both, and I was wondering if we need to make a distinction, if it's important to make that distinction.
Dave, this is Ann. I actually tripped on that exact same thing.
Yeah, I did too. I circled it on my piece of paper too. What do people feel like we ought to do? Like we have to speak in the phone.
The facilitator.
So take out the or in training. That's what I thought too. Any other points of view?
It's
in other words, it seems like it's important for them to know their facilitators in training.
I'm sure I'm behind because I haven't been on some of the conversations, but there's an important distinction for the facilitators who are in training and who aren't being official sitting group people, but we figured that that's fleshed out somewhere else, not in this document. Is that what we're figuring?
I'm figuring that's more of a, in some ways, more of an in-house distinction than, or I don't know, maybe not, but in training seems to me like not, if we wanted to say that here, not how we would say that. Don't know, because that what that basically implies is this is not, to me, this is kind of not a real facilitator as opposed to, you know, someone who's more experienced. That's what I was thinking.
And for me, this is Ann, I feel like I don't care how much experience I have facilitating, I'm always in training.
Mm-hmm. Any other points of view on this?
Dave, this is Margaret. I would just say that the main point is that the facilitator is there to support that process. That's what we're really saying.
So you're saying it doesn't seem important that it's that we emphasize here that they're in training.
Well, and as you've been saying, I don't think it does for them. Although, no, I don't. I don't think it does.
We may have to hear more from Jen on this and her point of view. You know, and I'm not sure, but what I see is that kind of inherent in the way we're doing it is the stop gaps or whatever for that, you know, because we're not asking people to teach meditation. We've set it up in a way that makes it easy for the facilitators. And so, and I don't think we need to hide it, but I also am not really seeing that we need to emphasize it.
Yeah, no, I'm completely on board with taking it out of this document. It just came up for me as a, in some way, I think, and I think it's in the way that the folks who are brand new to it, are presenting it to the people who are coming to their group. So I think it's probably already stated where they're saying, hey, you know, I'm doing this new thing, and would you come participate with me? As opposed to, I'm an official representative of the Zen Monastery Peace Center, and I'm sitting group.
Yeah, I'd be curious to hear from the people who are actually doing the key groups, but in my understanding, that's very much what's happening. Is that for folks who are doing key groups, is that your understanding too?
This is Tony. When what I tell people is I'm in training to become a facilitator, and this is an opportunity for me to practice, and it's part of that training.
Yeah, that seems.
And I hope that, you know, it's my hope that you will get some, you know, enjoy this and get something out of it or something like that. But that I tell them, it's part of my training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually think we talked about that pretty specifically as a way to invite people into this. Other people?
This is Catherine. Just a clarification. Did the group decide that we should tell people, you know, recommend that we tell people we're in training, or we could if we wanted to introduce it that way? It was up to us. Because I haven't been telling people that. I've just told them it's a new group. It's a new kind of group that the monastery is starting, sort of thing.
Okay. Well, I think we did and people will correct me if this is not correct, but as we're talking about forming the key groups, I think we were making that distinction that, you know, to make it clear, this is not like a formal monastery sitting group. As Tony was saying, you know, this is an opportunity for me to practice facilitation, and so that's kind of the purpose of the group. So it does seem like that information needs to be there for people.
Well, so I have been telling people it's not a formal sitting group, that it's not the same thing as a formal sitting group that the monastery has. This is a new kind of thing. But I haven't mentioned I'm in training.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that piece of it's actually all that crucial. I think it's more about, you know, I'm not an official representative of the practice in this. This is really just kind of friendly. I want to say that.
Is that just kind of what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last part. I'm not an official representative of the monastery. I'm just kind of.
Yeah, that this is more for me as a facilitator than in order for me. The purpose is more for facilitation practice rather than, you know, offering practice.
Okay, I'm really uncomfortable with that. I'm sorry, I didn't know that we were. I would be uncomfortable saying that to someone. So, I know you don't want to get into that now, but.
Okay, let's pass by that for just a second.
Okay, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Dave.
Yeah.
This is Karen.
Hey, Karen.
And I thought the whole thing was when we invited. And this, I don't know, this is something to get into later too, but I thought we were presenting it. I clearly said, you guys, I'm learning, I'm training, and would you be willing to support me in this while I am learning this new skill, something that's really important to me? That's how I presented it when I invited people to the group.
Yeah,
and also it was really an important thing for me to remember, because there were times I didn't feel like I did too well, and it was just really nice to know I'm learning and I'm in training, and that was like a huge support for me.
to know that
about myself. But
yeah, it kind of takes the pressure off, and as I recall, that was a big piece of why we decided to do that, so people wouldn't feel like they're under pressure to meet some kind of standard, but it really is just a practice, and it's totally fine to be transparent about that with people.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay, so just in terms of this document, how about if we take off the Orin training? Because I saw the point of view it's not important for this document. Do people agree?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
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 Linda had something.
It doesn't seem terribly significant, but in that first section, it says it's saying what the facilitator does and reflects what people are saying and asks questions. And I just wanted to put a may in there so that it's not an expectation the facilitator is going to be asking questions to draw people out.
It actually says that. It says the facilitator reflects what the participant is saying and may also pose questions. Okay. Other comments?
Dave, this is Cameron.
Cameron.
I really, this is the most clear description is and how groups are conducted and why that I've ever heard. When I first read it, I just thought that is so wonderful. I just think it's great.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that. I think I think it's going to be really helpful. When we started talking about this, it seemed like a great big opening. You know, and what I see is, you know, with all the work we've done, and we put a lot of work into the guidelines and all these things, it's basically just to make it as kind as possible for the people who are there so they're clear and they know what to expect.
And Dan, this is Dan. I have a question. Is this document going to be out in the foyer like other documents for people to pick up, or how will this be used?
Well, we haven't talked about that specifically. I'll tell you what, I'm going to write that down just to make sure we get it. Michael had something, and I'll make sure we get back to that before we finish, after we talk about the document itself.
I was looking at the sentence, participants are asked to use I statements, and then it says to speak from experience, and the thought was to reverse those because the first supports the second.
That's an interesting point. What do people think about that? Getting some nods and thumbs up here.
Yeah. This is Jan. I would agree with that just because I think it goes more to the point.
Mm-hmm.
I like that better.
Hey, that seems good. Mickey, have you got a note on that?
I got all the notes, Dave.
Great. Awesome. Other comments?
Dave, this is Marie.
Marie.
I have one. I keep telling myself it's not, you know, important, but you know, that sentence that says we may, however, acknowledge that something was said has assisted us to see something for ourselves. And in parentheses, it says what I saw in that is.
Mm-hmm.
To me, in my experience of group, that is the place where most people project onto my experience.
Uh-huh.
You know, they say something like, "Well, you know, like when Marie was talking about being, you know, upset," or, you know, they summarize what I was talking about.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's just the place where I most experience that. I don't know, and maybe that's just part of life and being in the world.
Yeah, it's a tricky spot. Well, what I notice about, so we should break that down, but what I notice about the sentence, it says, we may, however, acknowledge that something that was said has assisted us to see something for ourselves. That implies actually we're acknowledging something about, like, that's been helpful.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Anybody else catch that? Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm glad so-and-so said that, instead of, what I see in that is. Do you know what I mean? So we might clarify that part of it. And then we might clarify what's in the parentheses, too, to give people more concrete example about how they could do that in a way that would be helpful.
Dave, this is Dan.
Dan.
The phrase that I remember hearing from group most often in this context is, what that's bringing up for me is. And maybe that would be a good candidate for what's in the parentheses.
Hey, I'll make a note of that just as a point of conversation.
Dave, this is Deanna. I lean more to taking it out. It feels to me like this is a slippery slope to crosstalk. And so I get really nervous around it because I don't think people really get what crosstalk is and can go there so quickly and easily.
Huh. So maybe it would be better just to leave it out and figure, I mean, there is kind of a skillful way to kind of jump off of something somebody else has said, but maybe people can discover that on their own without needing to be steered in that direction.
Yeah, if I was going to do anything, I would say, it takes so much to explain how to do it skillfully.
Okay, well, let's keep working on it. Let's see what Melinda has to say.
Well, this may be trying to explain something that's not explainable in a short time, but in the parentheses, perhaps an example, such as in the discussion about huh-huh. So when we were just talking about huh-huh, to point to a way of very generally referring back without using any of the content specifics or the people's names.
Okay, so another good suggestion there. Other points of view? Somebody was starting to say something. I'm not sure who
that
was.
This is Marie. Dave. What I would want to say, I think, with that is just add after the parentheses without referring back to that person.
Uh-huh. Okay. Anyone else?
I was just wondering, Dave, if we could
I've gotten so far from remembering what was the original.
Okay.
If we could just read that part and see, maybe all of what Deanna was saying, maybe it doesn't need to be there. And if it does need to be there, what were we trying to say that we could reword?
Yeah, I could do that and give a couple of possibilities that people mentioned. So the participant speaks only to the, this is the beginning of the paragraph. The participant speaks only to the facilitator, not to any other group member. Participants are asked to use, we'll reverse this, but so it would say participants are asked to speak from their own personal experience using I statements or something like that. There are no side conversations between members of the group. We do not comment on what others have said. So we could stop there. The original says, we may, however, acknowledge that something that was said has assisted us to see something for ourselves, parentheses, quote, what I saw in that is, dot, dot, dot. Another option would be to put different things in the quote, like what are in the parentheses, rather, like what that's bringing up for me or in the discussion about, dot, dot, dot. And then another suggestion was to add without referring back to the person who was speaking at the end.
Well, I'll say what's coming up for me, just to try that phrase out. I think something about everything in group is relevant to everybody, and a particular situation may be something. So something that someone might be saying will reflect something for that you notice is going on in your own life as well. Speak about it from your own experience without referring to the original person whose comment brought that up.
Yeah, that's feeling pretty on target. We may actually even have some language already for that.
Mm-hmm.
For like, there's nothing wrong with your retreats. Yeah. That would take out the actual example. It also take out anything that feels like an invitation to go in that way.
Yeah, it's great. Also, I think one thing that's really neat about groups is that it points to everybody being present to what everyone is saying and to see the relevance of what. Everything that's going on in group is somehow a process that each of us do. And so what I like about it is that it points to, be here, pay attention to what's going on, and you'll get something from it if you do.
What do people think about that?
This is David.
Mm-hmm. David.
Yeah, I understand the idea of maybe taking it out in that point of view, but from my experience, in group, there's been a lot of times where it's actually really been supportive for people to kind of bring up something else that somebody said, not necessarily in the sense of like, well, he said this, or she said that, but just in the sense that it kind of keeps everybody focused on the reading, I feel like. So I would kind of vote for kind of using one of the ideas that's been coming up about how to keep it in, because I really feel like it helps to pull, and maybe that's what Alex is pointing to a little bit, but it helps to keep everybody kind of focused on the reading and kind of keep that oneness experience that we talk about sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I'll tell you what's occurring to me, just partly just so we can move on and partly just to do a process with this, is to figure that we've kind of opened up this issue, sit with it for the week, and in the meantime, maybe get a volunteer here to look at that in our TNW stuff. I think it's on, there's a handout that has something about group guidelines. I think there might be some specific language for this we might use, and we could bring that to the next call and have that be a part of the discussion. And does seem right? Melinda, is that something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Melinda's willing to do that. Okay, anything else about the document for now, and knowing that we'll hit it again next week? Okay, let's briefly talk on how it will be used. I tell you, I haven't really looked at it very much, but what I was thinking is, I mean, it needs to be a part of the orientation, obviously, when people come. And I know that as a part of the orientation, people are getting the guidelines that we've created. Also, Jen, you're not aware of it. Last time we talked about, we worked on this donation document, which you haven't seen, but you will, that would go on the back of the guidelines. So people would actually, that would be something they could take home. And then it seems to me like this could go in along with that packet. But I don't know if people
mm-hmm.
have other ideas or other possibilities than that.
Hey, David, it's Ann. It seems like it would also be good to include in an orientation for a regular sitting group.
Oh, yes, for sure. Mm-hmm. Good point. Does that seem about right? Or anybody have another point of view?
I was just going to agree.
Okay. There was someone else behind Marie. Who was that?
That was Michael. I was agreeing with both Marie and Ann.
Okay, good. All right, good. Thanks for that, y'all. Next thing is check in about fundraising, how it's going with people who are doing fundraisers, any questions you have, need any support in any way, what's happening there?
This is Jan.
Jan.
Dave, two weeks ago I had asked, because I've been out of town, for ideas people had because I was having a lot of resistance, and I just wanted to express my gratitude because it helped me it helped me get past that resistance and launch into something that our family hasn't done before. And what that was is just deciding we wanted to do more of sponsoring kids for the Bridge Walk. I mean, that's the way we would do it. And then we decided to expand our circle of who we would invite to participate in that and challenge them to meet what we were doing, trying to make it fun, which it has been. And the response has been just a surprise, a delight, the whole thing, both in seeing my own process with it and seeing how inviting people enlarges the community or opens up that possibility, which wouldn't have been there otherwise. So
yeah,
just my gratitude.
Okay. Was there more, Jan?
Well, just 24 hours after we sent that letter, it was you know, I was getting pummeled internally for all the reasons I'm sure people have experienced with different all the condition that came up. And then what happens after that is as people respond or don't respond, just all that I've had the opportunity to see in it, but mainly I think just the gratitude in the willingness to do it, and then the community that I thought was much smaller of my own friends who wanted to participate had grown, and just the learning that I went through, I'm going through in that. So it's been terrific.
Yeah, that's great. That's so fun to hear you say that. It's I hear a theme, you know, and because we talked about this at length a couple weeks ago, and it seems like it kind of goes the same way for a lot of people, where there's a lot of resistance, and then we get past the resistance, and suddenly things open up in a way that we didn't expect, and then the really surprising effect of that is it's really, really fun. We talked about that in particular, I remember, with Marie's yard sale.
Yeah, and Marie's description of the process she went through was really helpful, because staying focused on, I'm going to have fun with this, I don't care what happens, it doesn't matter if anyone responds, made all the difference. So.
Yeah, and it's really fun too, isn't it, that people do respond, that you know, all the things that the voices are saying were completely untrue.
Yeah, it's a bonus.
It's a bonus. Not necessary, but a bonus. Yeah.
Right.
I just wanted to throw in one little thing. I can't help but think about, you know, Jan, you're doing that and knowing some of the kids that are being sponsored now, and how every single child that's sponsored makes a huge difference. I mean, it's the starfish story where, you know, we can think, or I can think, oh, there's so many, there's so much, but every single child is someone. That's a human being who suddenly has a chance, who has enough to eat, who has a shot at a future. So it's just, the impact of it is so huge.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and go ahead.
Go ahead, Jan.
Well, I just wanted to add that I think one of the things I got in all this, and I've gotten it before, but it just was at a new level for me, is what Jen mentioned, you know, speaking from your heart. People know that, whether it's in a letter, person to person. And when we do that, whether we're asking for money or sharing a story, it doesn't matter. They get it. And I think part of the response is from that, they know. And that's part of the fun, too. So, yeah, it does make all the difference.
Yeah, it sure does.
That was me. It's Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Well, I was supposed to have my yard sale today, and we've been in a drought for 3 months, and now it's just raining buckets.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, so
that's happening everywhere. You should see. We have phones going out. We have water pipes breaking. You know, Mercury's big time in retrograde. It's just a mess.
So, yeah, well, that's good to hear. We're all kind of in solidarity.
But it is, I mean, we're grateful for the rain, so, you know. And so I'm going to have this next Saturday. And, you know, other than the ad I put in the paper, I think everything is really movable, you know, and it's I'll just keep my car out of the garage for a week. So it's not a huge deal. But the thing that I'm noticing about the process and all this is how I feel like I've just been really kind of plodding along, taking, that's P-L-O-D-D, not T, just taking the next step. When it feels overwhelming, like when I, you know, just putting all the stuff out, I mean, just the whole project, you know, when it felt overwhelming, I just kind of took a deep breath and just did the very next thing and didn't look too far down the road. And, and one of the ways that, you know, it just speaks to looking to the moment for what's, because one of the things that conditioning was beating me up for was not getting those flyers. I was going to go around all my neighborhood and put flyers on people's houses, and I just hadn't done that yet, and so I still have the flyers in my satchel. So if I had done that,
a good
that,
thing,
it
isn't it, Rebecca?
Exactly.
You washed through at this point.
Yeah, so I can still put them. You know, it's just, huh?
Go ahead, Rebecca.
Okay. I thought I missed a comment.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. But so I'm seeing this huge parallel for my life about how I just am not getting much of a glimpse very far down the road on my whole life. And so this is, you know, just plodding along, doing the very next thing is kind of the best I can seem to be able to do right now. And there's a part of me that wants to make that a real big drama issue and a real, you know, problem that I don't have the big picture. And so this has been a really nice analogy for that whole other process that I'm going through as well.
Yeah, it sounds like a kind of a manageable form to work on it too.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens once you and you catch the energy of it. You know, because I don't know if you remember, Marie talked about very much the same thing. It's like, oh God, this is too much, and something like that. I can't remember exactly, Marie, but then once the thing took hold and it started going, you know, the whole thing changed. You know, once the energy started moving.
Yeah, but see, that's kind of a tricky place because I keep looking for that energy and looking for that, like what Jan was just describing, this great opening and everything's flowing, and that to actually is kind of getting in the way, I think, of that's what I mean by looking too far down the road. It's like I'm kind of expecting this great burst of energy, and I don't know if I'm just being cynical or if it's just not, but it does seem to be kind of getting in the way.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't happen until the yard sale happens, so it makes sense that that wouldn't be going on yet, yeah?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just I the only reason I said that is because I just keep hearing that what people are saying is, you know, conditioning, you know, this whole thing is very threatening to conditioning, I would imagine, you know, especially as people are talking about how much it just kind of opens up and how fun it is, and so, of course, it's going to react to that ahead of time and kind of brace itself and try to hold back and all of that. And who knows what your actual experience will be. You might hate it. You might hate every second of it, and then that'll just be whatever it is when it actually happens. But, you know, there's a chance that it might go a different way.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Dave?
Yeah.
This is Jan Latender.
Hey, Jan.
This is a – it may be too content-related, and you can just defer me if so. I am kind of, over the last week, decided to do a little fundraiser thing, and it's going to be a hike on the day of the bridge walk, and not a lot of folks, maybe, you know, 15 or 20, but I'm wondering, is it possible that, would it be possible at all to get pictures of kids ahead of time that walkers could wear in a location other than at the bridge walk on bridge walk day?
I'm getting lots of big yeses here, Jan.
Okay.
I think that would be great. I think David Blythe had a very similar question to that. Is could things like that be available to be a part of the you know, kind of bridge walk and other places events?
And Jan, and it sounds like David too, and anyone else for whom that's relevant, we could be in conversation around, in particular, what did you want? Like, do you want pictures of kids who are not sponsored, and so kind of an invitation to sponsor them? Or do you just want pictures of kids that they could symbolically wear that day? Or you don't have to answer now, but just that kind of thing, because we could really do it a lot of different ways.
And Jen, what would you say the best way for people to communicate about that if they had that need?
Probably to email me, and then I could communicate with the team, you know, depending on who, like Bob, they need to be on.
Jen, I have just a little technical thing I could insert here.
Sure. Okay.
You know, for the Teresa tour, we made a page that had the pictures from our flyers so people could send them for the press releases. And so we could possibly do something like that.
Oh, where we stick them up on the web and people could download them and print them?
Yeah, like on the fundraiser page, which we could link to it, and there would be some photographs people could use if they wanted to in their fundraising.
That would be good, and that would actually eliminate a lot of that conversation, I think, that Jen would just was talking about, because we could just put up a whole big smattering.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure, because there's a sponsorship, not sponsorship issue, but maybe they could be indicated in some way, and then people could just pull what they want.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then maybe people could just let me know if there's a particular thing, like if you want at your event, you want the opportunity for people to sponsor a child and choose that child, you know, that kind of thing. So we would need to know in that case. But, yeah, that's a super idea, Marie, to just put a bunch of things up there that people could pick and choose from.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave, this is
Jen, good. Could I...
One thing, for anybody who has that need and doesn't have Jen's email address, it's jen@livingcompassion.org. jen@livingcompassion.org. David.
Yeah, thanks very much. That was really helpful. I had sent in a couple questions about that, and one of mine was kind of looking for like a flyer or something that we could give to people as we ask for donations to sponsor us in our event, and that seems really, really helpful to have a web page where we could just kind of download stuff that seems, you know, really, really relevant to kind of the nature of what we're doing.
Yeah, I think we actually have that already, Marie. Don't we have that trifold thing, and that the two pager about Living Compassion that people could use? I don't know for sure. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, those are already on the fundraising page in the Africa section of our website. And there's also the tips on doing a yard sale on there, too, for anybody that's considering a yard sale that were really helpful, because we just followed somebody else's blueprint on that, and it works really well.
Yeah, that's great.
And then I don't know if this is a piece of what David was pointing at, but we're also about to send out, we've got just a very simple sponsorship sheet that, you know, it's kind of like a traditional, let's say you're doing a marathon or something and you just go around to your friends, families, coworker, you get them to fill in their name, the amount they want to sponsor you for, and like that. So that's also coming out, I think, probably early next week, wouldn't you say, Marie?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where will that be available?
It's going to come out as a Bridgewalk ad. And then I suppose, Marie, wherever we put all this stuff, we could just put it up there, too, so that people, it's just one central location where people go if they want to download any of that stuff.
Yeah, there'll be a link in the ad to get to it, but maybe we'll post it somewhere else as well that's more permanent.
You know, what else we ought to do is when Mickey sends out the notes, we ought to, you know, this would be the notes, maybe we could include either links to these things or directions to how to get there to people so that people who aren't on the call could access the stuff, too, who need them.
Yeah, and one, I don't know if this would be helpful to people. I know, you know, we realized yesterday on a call that time is actually starting to catch up with us here. But I'll bet you, and Marie, chime in if you think I'm wrong in this, I'll bet you our IT magician could pretty easily this weekend make that sponsorship sheet ready, and we could send it out to the facilitator group pretty pronto, I would think, if that would be helpful to people.
Just one timing issue from the facilitator's end is that basically, anything that's going to come out from me is either going to come out today or not until next Thursday, because I'm not going to have email access from Sunday to Wednesday.
Okay, we could do it on our end with just a little bit more work, probably. So,
okay.
So Jen is going to make all that happen, and then we'll kind of do the legwork here on our end.
And so I could just forward that
that file for you, Jen.
What, Jen?
You already have the 2009 sponsorship file?
Well, actually, Bob sent it to me, and I need to remake it, but it won't take long at all.
Okay, so I just volunteered you, not Bob, huh? Sorry about that, Marie.
That's okay, because I'm kind of waiting for the next thing to do for information, so it'll work out well.
Whittling your thumbs at home. Okay, good.
Great. That was a good conversation, and I wanted to, there's one thing I didn't get to say, which is, Jan, that sounds like a really fun fundraiser to do that hike.
We're going to go up into the park and hike down to Deep Creek, about 14 miles, so I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, boy, that's beautiful. It's fun that it's a walk, too, you know, so we'll all be kind of walking at the same time. And to have pictures of the kids that everybody can put on their shirts, I mean, it would make it like an official kind of a thing, just like here. That was really fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, I'm aware. There's one thing. I think we have a little more time for fundraising stuff. Anybody else about fundraisers?
This is Michael.
Michael?
I'm aware of my deep resistance to the whole idea, and so it's really inspiring to hear, Marie's story and Jan's story to see what is actually possible.
Yeah, I'm having that experience, too. It's funny, because ever since Marie, a couple weeks ago, opened that big can of worms, it feels like the it's just moved. You know, before that, I'm not sure it was really moving, but it's moved, and suddenly there's a lot of possibility there, and we have support for it, and, yeah. And, it's just not surprising to me that there would be resistance around this, because, you know, it's really making contribution. It's putting yourself on the line in ways that conditioning hates, you know, stepping into a larger place. The possibility of having fun, expanding. You know, who wants that?
Exactly.
Okay, good. Well, let's move on. Is there one more? Uh-huh.
Yeah, Dave, this is Marie. I just wanted to say one thing, you know, because, you know, people in San Diego wrote a really good write-up about their yard sale every year, and they kept sharing their success and fun. In their write-up, it sounded fun, what they were doing. And, you know, so that kept sticking in my mind, and, you know, we pretty much followed their format. So to me, it'd just be really great. It's really helpful if people send in their fundraising stories if they want to. Really, you know, helps everybody else get the idea so they can do it too.
Exactly, kind of like what's happened on this call. So I guess they could just send that in to the registration office maybe, and we could route it, or is that what makes sense?
Yeah, that would be fine.
Okay, yeah, that would be fun. Fun for us to hear it too, you know.
We could put it in the fundraising blog, and we could also put, if they have photographs, we could add photographs too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great.
And also, just when you say that, Marie, it reminds me that, you know, doing a fundraiser can be an ongoing kind of thing, like the like Sandy's yard sale down in San Diego. I mean, that's become like a huge annual event. And, you know, when they first did it, it was a little yard sale. And then the next year it was bigger, and now it's like all their friends know about it. People save things all year long. It's a huge thing. It's like the bridge walk. You know, the first year we did a bridge walk, we kind of gathered in Chrissy Field and, you know, did our thing. And, you know, without really us trying, I mean, we certainly put a lot into it, but without a whole lot of kind of making it happen, it starts to build a momentum on its own. So it just occurs to me to say that to folks too, that, you know, so maybe you have your first run fundraiser and it's, you know, it's a small thing and that's great, but there's a way that it can build momentum over time kind of on its own.
Yeah, Jen, because people asked us at the yard sale if we were going to do it next year. I mean, several people talked to us about that. And, you know, so we decided to make it an annual yard sale. And so when we wrote our thank yous to people that donated things and all, we told them that, you know, we were going to do it again next year to save their stuff.
Yeah, and it's so in keeping with what the entire project is, which is community. You know, and that's why everything's building in Cantalombo. That's why it's working, because as the community, as the relationship gets stronger, that in itself does the work. That builds the momentum.
I just wanted to throw in that another thing that keeps striking me about the yard sale phenomenon is that it's also moving stuff around. It's a form of sustainable recycling. And just, you know, because there's all that stuff that comes into people doing the sale, and then it all goes out to somebody who moves it around, and you may see it at next year's yard sale. But it's just a wonderful, wonderful way to recycle.
one thing that keeps coming up for me too is that another thing that's in keeping with is practice, which I really, really enjoy. It's, you know, it's just another thing that we do to see how we cause ourselves to suffer and to. So that's a real fun element of it too. Okay, I want to move on, and we can check in again as we about that as it gets even closer to the bridge walk. But I wanted to check in with Karen A, because we bumped that topic that you had, Karen, last time. Do you want to tell us what's going on?
Yeah. I actually have some resistance to talking about this, but this is one of those times I feel like I kind of put myself out there and it didn't work very well. And so, can you hear me okay? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, I'm getting an echo for some reason on my end. I'm going to take off my Bluetooth real quick. Hang on.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So what happened for me is I'm getting this huge echo. Everything's repeated in my ear that I'm saying, so I don't know. If it must be my phone.
It's not working here either. Darren, have you got another phone you can call in on?
No, I don't. I'm out of town on my cell phone. I guess I could move outside and see if that helps.
Well, it suddenly got better. Darren, why don't you
again? Okay, I just tried outside. Okay, this is one of those times that I feel like I put myself out there and it didn't work out very well. And so what I did is I invited my friends to those friends and support me in learning to facilitate the group. And I made it very clear that I was in training and I'm just learning and that this is something that they would do for me. And they each came two times, and then I never heard from them again. And these are like my best friends. And now since I wrote you that email, I have heard from them. I have heard from one and seen one of them, and one of them has emailed me. But it felt really awful. And I have to say it hurt my feelings. And I didn't know what to say to them because of the privileged environment. I didn't know if I should bring it up just to kind of say, well, I guess that didn't work out or because it didn't. And so it was awkward. It's brought up the whole issue for me of just wondering about recruiting people that way. Because of this was a path I chose and I wanted for myself, and but I'm questioning that whole concept of inviting friends and family. I mean, I'm not eager to do that again. But so anyway, it's just brought up a lot about friendships, brought up a whole lot for me.
Well, I wonder if there's other folks who might have had, you know, similar kind of things happen that might be willing to talk about it in terms of their own experience, though, this kind of thing.
This is Jan.
Jan.
I just wanted to relate that experience. The experience it describes reminds me with the fundraising I was mentioning, the same thing. I mean, here you are, sort of putting yourself out to friends and you don't hear a thing. And I watched the conditioning around that, and what came up for me, what I saw in it, is that that it didn't matter. I had to go to the place of looking that it didn't matter whether they participated or not, because it was from my own, I was doing it for myself. And then, you know, that didn't take care of all the voices coming up. But I realized that I could talk about it. It was sort of like the elephant in the room. And when I saw that the voices were telling me, gosh, no one's even saying anything, I realized I I could be the one bringing that up. And I would say, gosh, was this, you know, you got the letter. This wasn't something that, sounds like it probably isn't something that you're interested in, or whatever the words were around that, but talking about my own experience. And it just took the pressure off of myself, the voices having anything to work with. The elephant in the room, I acknowledged in the best way I could, and when I saw friends or have been seeing friends, and I just stayed with myself as much as possible with why I had done and why I'm doing what I'm doing. I don't feel like I'm expressing this very well, but the main thing was that I keep going back, because it's still an ongoing process. I keep going back to what's going on and taking care of those parts, working with those parts that are hurt, that are disappointed, and finding out what that is. So that's, I'm in process with it. But I just wanted to share that because, for me, the elephant in the room was a big part. My then acknowledging, not waiting for somebody else to do it, was hugely helpful.
Yeah, that seems great, Jan. Something really similar came up for me about that. I don't know if I could have articulated like you did, but that, yeah, that in a way, I would imagine there's an opportunity in this for those friendships to deepen, because you're tackling something. You know, you're engaging with them. You know, it seems like a lot of times what we do is we go around trying to avoid situations like this, and trying to make sure everybody feels comfortable and stuff. But then, you know, we go through something and it gets a little rocky. But when there's a willingness to actually to engage with it and move through it, then, you know, the relationship seems like it would actually deepen.
So, Dave, just in the context of the privileged environment, would that be okay to engage about it or say something about it? I wasn't sure in the context of that how I would approach it.
I see. So that might be something you're stumbling on. Linda has something, too, and I'll make a little comment that here's how it seems to me. You know, these are your friends before the group ever started.
Yeah.
And so it's different. You know, it's not like because they came to your group, you can no longer interact with them as friends like you were before. But so it seems like it's just wide open for something like that.
Yeah. Hey, this is just something that was coming up for me, because I'd imagine that, you know, nobody who's doing practice right now couldn't relate to something similar to that, whether it be, you know, for me, what it brought up was I'm recalling my parents and how they responded to, you know, me coming to the monastery. And just, you know, I for a long time I thought, you know, if they loved me, they would go, they would learn this practice, they would come here to the monastery, they would do it. You know, that's exaggerated, of course, you know. I never expected them to really do that. But inside, the conditioning would constantly be going on that they would get the same thing or something out of what it is that the practice is offering. And something that I've gotten is that I never really know what people actually get out of anything that I do or say or offer, or even the practice for that matter. It could have been wildly successful what you had done. And mm-hmm. conditioning was just threatened, and that's what people do out in the world. They just, you know, oh, something was blown open, and it's like, well, I'm not going to that anymore. So it's really difficult to know what really happened. But I know what I related to with what Jan was saying was that I'm doing this for my own practice, and that needs to be at the forefront, I think. And I really related to what was being shared too about, you know, opening it up for something deeper with the friends, for that matter. So, and that has happened with me personally, you know, with my parents. So, you know, we don't share a practice. We share me, who is doing the practice, and them not figuring out, like, well, what's different about him? You know, there's something different about him. And so I always keep it as something that I'm doing, and the result of me doing that is that there's something that is intangible that I think people relate to.
Okay, thanks for that, Alex.
Dave, this is Penny.
Penny?
Two things came up for me. One is that in a situation being described where these were pre-existing friends, it does seem it's a different situation, and that one might, you know, approach the friends in the same way you would if you had any other thing that seemed to come up in a relationship, anything that seemed to be blocking the friendship, that it would be perfectly okay to just inquire, you know, to try to mend that friendship. And the privileged environment does exist in the setting where you're facilitating, and you wouldn't necessarily do this with people you didn't know in advance, but you've got a long-standing friendship that you would, it seems like you could respond to this the way you'd respond to any rupture that seemed to be there, and try to at least get clarity. And then the second thing that occurred to me...
Let me underline that, Penny. That really seems right to me. And, you know, for if it's a practice relationship where the only relationship you have with a person is that they're coming to the group, that would be something really different. You know, you would, would not want to do that at all. But it's for someone, you know, a pre-existing friend, then for sure that would be something that would be available.
And the other thing that occurred to me is that I think I project. Who knows? But I project in my own experience. There have been occasions where I have kind of invited friends into what was the next step for me, and I project that that they did, that it did cause a split. And I'm just saying that because I think we have to also get that if we're willing to take these steps, that can be one of the casualties.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep. Yeah, and that, you know, we won't know that for, you know, some time, probably, you know.
Right, I don't even know if that was the case, but the timing is such that it suggests that it was.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just, one other tiny point, which I think is really obvious, but I was just, it feels like a helpful distinction that as I'm talking to that friend, of course, I wouldn't refer to anything that actually happened in the group itself, you know. So anything they said there or anything that came up around that evening or, which to me makes it really clear there, that privileged environment is completely intact because I'm not going to refer to anything that happened in that situation. And it makes it really clear that now whatever I'm going to engage with on the level of the relationship is, it doesn't impinge on the privileged environment.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Here's Melinda.
Well, it just occurred to me to also keep in mind that they're having... the reaction they had may very well have had everything to do with them and nothing to do with the facilitation. That we can't know. Somebody, I think, was saying this a couple of paragraphs ago. But to not have any idea what actually went on for them and to not assume that it's because of something that I did in the course of facilitation. And I don't know if that's going on for Karen at all, but that just went through for me.
Thank you.
Great. So I'm aware we're running out of time. Karen, anything from you before we finish the topic?
Well, Karen here, I just want to say thank you for all of that. So very supportive and very helpful, all of it. Thank you.
You're welcome. And if there's more, bring it up another time.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Mickey, anybody, do you think roll call kind of stuff that we have to do?
I could quickly run through the names again of people who I didn't hear just to see if they're there in the background.
Okay.
Both Chris's, Chris B, Chris L, Danny, Jen Y, Jill, Karen M, Lisa, Lori, Phil, Ramita.
Both there.
Okay.
Mickey. Yeah.
Yep. Susan.
Thanks.
Therese. Tracy.
All right, great. Thanks, everybody. I think our next
Chris
call...
Chris B. is also here.
Oh, there's Chris B.
Great.
Awesome.
Sorry, I wasn't quick enough to unmute myself.
Yeah, you got to be fast. All right, I think our call next week is on Friday.